You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Good morning, everyone. Appreciate your coming in so early. The commissioner is meeting with the Treasury Secretary later, so we had to start at an early moment. So thank you all for being here. And thank you for filling the room, by the way. I'm extremely impressed that we could manage this in the middle of July. So my name is Doug Elliott. I'm a fellow in economic studies here at the Brookings Institution. And I have the honor today of introducing Commissioner Michel Barnier for a return visit to Brookings. Before I do introduce him, I'd like to thank David Strongin and the Global Financial Markets Association for suggesting this event and for their encouragement along the way. And, of course, we're even more grateful to the commissioner for making time for us and for his staff in facilitating that. I will keep my introduction short since his next appointment is with the Treasury Secretary. We've distributed his bio, so you have more details available to you. The commissioner's career is an impressive one. He was a regional counselor. This will be short. Don't worry. But please, I do have to say something about it. All right, I'll skip his time in Savoy then, but I do want to mention he was co-president of the successful 1992 Winter Olympics, because I know he's very proud of that. At the national level in France, he was Minister for the Environment, Minister of Agriculture and Fisheries, Minister of European Affairs, and Minister of Foreign Affairs. At the European Commission level, he's been a member of the European Parliament, and this is his second time as a commissioner. The European Union, he was Commissioner for Regional Policy and the Reform of European Institutions, and currently he's the Commissioner responsible for the European Union's internal market and services. And his current job puts him in charge of financial services regulation at the Commission, which is the topic on which he will principally speak today. The Commissioner will make prepared remarks in English, and then will answer some questions from me and from the audience. During the Q&A session, he will have an interpreter available if he chooses to answer in French on any of the questions. When we finish, I will request that you remain seated while the commissioner leaves the room in order to allow him to proceed to his rather important next appointment. So with that, let me turn it over to the commissioner. Thank you again, and please take the podium, Commissioner.
Good morning to all of you. Let me first thank the Brookings Institute, dear Doug, for hosting this conference, and also the GME, David Strongin, and for co-organizing this breakfast meeting, which I just come in this building. I have the pleasure to meet a sort of fat cat. With a sign, Barnier is a deregulator. The first time I saw my... made me very comfortable and reassured me that in Europe, on the other side of the Atlantic, lots of people are thinking exactly the opposite. Let me come back to our topic, and I would also like to thank each of you and Senator Gregg and some other people for being here today. Ladies and gentlemen, the ancient Mesopotamians invented derivatives, or swaps, as you call them, in 1714. They did not know that swaps would one day bring the global financial system to its knees. Later, the Greek philosopher Aristotle wrote his book on politics. In ancient Greece, olive merchants earned fortunes on their swap deals. But Aristotle couldn't know that one day swaps would cost his country dearly and take its toll in Europe's GDP. And neither could be predict that Europe's and the U.S. would spend years sorting out how to regulate cross-border swaps. Our discussion became more concrete 1 year ago when CFTC Chairman Gary Gensler published his proposals. Europe and the US share the same commitment and the same goals in this area. They were agreed 3.5 years ago when the leaders of the G20 nations met in Pittsburgh. They agreed to an ambitious global regulatory reform of the swaps markets. They set out to 3 things. Number one, clearing. To reduce risk in our financial firms and system by clearing all standardized swaps through central counterparties. Number two, transparency. To shed light on this opaque market and report all trades to trade repositories. We need to know where risk is building up in the system. We need to know. Number three, trading. Where appropriate, to move standardized swaps to venues to increase market transparency. Europe has rapidly implemented those regulatory reforms. In doing so, we managed to break records. Our law called EMIR, European Market Infrastructure Regulation, was adopted within 24 months. It has been in force since last August. And a second set of technical rules was adopted 6 months later. They became law in March. Our reporting requirements will apply after the summer. Our clearing rules in 6 months' time. Agreement has now been reached by our finance ministers and our mandatory trading rules. It is fair to say, I think, that we are moving fast in regulatory reforms. And the reason why I went so often, I'm used to come often, it's my 8th visit in 3 years in your country, to say where we are and to understand where you are also. Our rules are also robust, often even identical to those in the US. In some respects, they are even more tougher. So regulatory reform in Europe has been swift and solid, but it will only reach its full potential if our rules work seamlessly with similar laws beyond our borders. Swaps are truly international trades. They are not bound by geographical borders, and the same applies to swaps regulations in the US. Cross-border regulations is a critical concern. Regulators have spent 2 years discussing the international patchwork of local rules and how it could work together so that all trades would be regulated in broadly similar ways, whoever agreed a trade and wherever it was booked. Uncoordinated efforts to regulate these markets are like squeezing a bar of soap with wet hands. It slips from our hands, trades will be rebooked, markets will fragment, the G20 reform objectives will not be met. That is why the last week's agreements with the CFTC is so important. It resolves many issues for cross-border trades. The agreement with Gary Gensler is fundamental, and it is why I appreciate so much everything Gary has done to make it possible. The CFTC regulates the majority of swaps trades here in the US, and the majority of global swaps are between the US and Europe. Our discussion has been long and sometimes difficult, but together with ESMA, the European Market Authority, they have been close, continuous, and collaborative, as you would expect from good partners and friends. And as an old African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We took the right road together, and we followed the common path together. The key elements of our package of common steps forward for cross-border swaps respond to the problem of two rules, EMIR on one side, Dodd-Frank on the other side, covering the same trade. We have agreed on five important elements. First, a narrower territorial scope. Firms should be subject to only one set of rules. Two, more mutual recognition, or substitute compliance, as you call it here. We have established that our rules are essentially identical in important areas. This means that we will allow firms from the US and the EU to choose which rules to apply to a trade, EMIR or Dodd-Frank. Three, a transitional regime for some European central clearing parties. This will prevent them from being forced to close down clearing US trades. Four, European trading venues will have a wider and longer exception from US trading rules. This bridges the gap until new European MiFID rules, which deal with swap trading, has been adopted, and I hope to reach an agreement, final agreement on MiFID, before the end of this year from the European Parliament on one side and the European Council of Ministers on the other side, before the end of this year. And fifth, we have taken measures to avoid regulatory arbitrage between our rules. We are closing loopholes. We will make sure trades between branches or guaranteed subsidiaries will be regulated. We have achieved a lot. Some work is still needed, for instance, on margin requirements for CCPs. But the most important message is that Europe and the United States are leading by example. We invite other countries to join this approach so we can make sure G20 commitments are applied sensibly and rigorously to cross-border swaps. It is only by full implementation of G20 commitments that countries will have standards that are of high quality and comparable. This is essential for regulators and supervisors to have the necessary confidence in each other and for international business to flourish. If regulators cannot have confidence in the standards applied by their colleagues abroad, markets end up fragmented. This brings me to transatlantic trade in general. As you know, we launched our EU-US trade renegotiation last week. They are about growth and leadership. Growth in terms of our economies and jobs for our citizens. Leadership because we can find solutions to trade problems that we can find in multilateral discussions. Those solutions will carry weight because they would apply to half of the world economy. They would form a good basis for future global discussions when the time is ripe. The EU is committed to included financial service regulations as well as financial market access in its growth and leadership agenda. And our discussions and recent agreement on swaps is the best example why the regulation of financial services must be included in our common interest. The real barriers to EU-US trade investment are in the details of regulatory policy, the rules, processes, and procedures of regulations. Our discussions on swaps have shown that regulatory barriers can block trade outright, make it too expensive to be viable, fragment global markets, or just act as a drag on overall economic efficiency and raise costs for Main Street companies, not just for Wall Street banks. They are the barriers of the future for world trade relations. Ladies and gentlemen, I agree dealing with financial regulation is complex and politically sensitive on both sides of Atlantic, but it protects our economies from risks to their citizens and financial security. But the stark reality is that our financial sectors know no borders. They are intertwined and interdependent. This is the fundamental lesson of the financial crisis. The agreement on swaps is a huge achievement. I am not sure, to be sincere, I am not sure that it is the model to be followed again. It is a proof that we need a pre-agreed framework to discuss and resolve these issues on time. A framework that gives legal certainty and process. A framework that will avoid brinkmanship and uncertainty in our financial markets. We'll still face difficult discussions on banking, investment terms, and in the other areas. Our agreement on swaps prove that we can trust each other. We have passed that test case, if I may say. Now we must demonstrate joint leadership and raise the bar in tomorrow's world of financial regulations. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. We'll just get the microphones on here. Please. And let me congratulate you as well. You have described yourself as a politician before, so I can use the term. It's one of the shortest speeches I've heard by a politician. Thank you for that.
Try to improve myself. It's very important when you're a politician and when you are 62 to keep a margin of progress in front of you.
Well, it's an inspiration to us all. And especially, hopefully, it'll be an inspiration on the question period.
But don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that the commissioner in Europe is not a super technocrat, apatride. Huh? Right. We are politicians, and we need to act as politicians for the general interest of Europe, for the 28 countries, not for one of them, but we are politicians, and we need to act as politicians.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take the moderator's privilege of asking you a couple questions, and then we'll switch to the audience. My first one is a broad question. It seemed to many observers, such as myself, that cooperation in transatlantic financial reform has bogged down to a considerable extent compared to where it was a couple of years ago. The momentum felt that it was declining. Do you agree with that? And if so, what do you think were the causes and how can we reinvigorate this?
I would switch to French, not only to give a proof of the cultural diversity we need to maintain, but also to be more precise and more concrete. But thanks to my favorite interpreter. Je ne sais pas si j'ai bien compris, les relations se sont dégradées.
Sont ralentis, sont
l'appétit, ah oui. Ça,
la dynamique s'est ralentie.
Oui, je pense que notre responsabilité de responsable politique est de ne pas avoir la mémoire courte.
I think our responsibility as politicians, as politicians and responsible leaders, is not to have a short memory.
Et de se souvenir que cette crise financière qui est née ici, qui s'est propagée en Europe et dans le monde, a des causes très précises.
And we have to remember that this financial crisis that was born here and then was propagated all over Europe has very precise roots.
Mais ça fait 5 ou 6 ans.
And it's been going on for 5 or 6 years now.
Donc ça explique que la tension ou la motivation puisse diminuer et qu'un certain nombre d'acteurs dans les marchés financiers ou les services nous disent maintenant business as usual.
And it explains why, I mean, this length of time that efforts are waning and people are getting tired and people are saying, well, okay, now it's business as usual.
Notre responsabilité, c'est de ne pas avoir la mémoire courte et surtout de comprendre qu'on ne peut pas se payer une nouvelle crise comme celle-là.
Our responsibility is both not to have a too short a memory and also to realize that we can't afford to have another crisis like this one ever again.
Ni financièrement, ni politiquement.
Nor financially, neither financially nor politically.
Regardez ce qui arrive en Europe dans beaucoup de pays actuellement avec la montée du populisme et le populisme porte le protectionnisme.
Look at what's going on in Europe and what's happening right now with the rise of populism, and populism bears in itself protectionism.
Si nous ne trouvons pas les mots justes et les actions correctes pour réduire ce risque de protectionnisme, ça ne sera plus la peine de parler de relations transatlantiques et de commerce entre nous, hein, parce que ça sera le repli général. Hein.
If we can't find the right words and if we can't take the right actions to stave off this protectionist wave, I mean, then it's going to be too late, and it's no longer we will no longer talk about getting together or whatever. I mean, it's going to be total folding up on ourselves on both sides of the Atlantic.
C'est pour ça que j'ai soutenu comme commissaire l'idée de ce grand chantier transatlantique sur le plan du commerce et des investissements.
That's why, as a commissioner, I was in favor of this great work for this transatlantic discussion, both for trade and investment.
But I remember clearly the words of the President Obama the day before we launched this agreement as a global partnership. President Obama said we need to build these relations for the key words, fair and free trade. Fair and free. Free and fair. The two words are important.
Okay. Speaking of the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Pact, as you mentioned earlier, do you think there is still a realistic chance of including financial services broadly, as my colleague Martin Bailey and I have called for?
It's not only a question of chance. It is a question of interest, mm-hmm. common interest. Comment 80% enfin 70% des transactions financières dans le monde sont entre Américains et Européens.
70% of financial transactions in the entire world are between Europeans and Americans.
Financial transactions. Ça ne va pas durer, naturellement. Les places asiatiques vont monter et d'autres encore. Hein.
This is not forever. I mean, Asian places are going to go
mais
up.
Mais pour l'instant, c'est ça.
But that's the situation right
Comment
now.
On peut bâtir un accord free and fair produisant de la croissance grâce à la synergie entre les deux rives de l'Atlantique si on n'a pas un agenda de régulation et d'ouverture des marchés financiers cohérent entre nous.
How can you promote a free and fair relationship between us on both sides of the Atlantic with all the synergy that it implies if we don't have an agenda for common regulations between us?
Il ne s'agit pas de le faire en dehors du G20, il s'agit plutôt de conforter, de consolider la crédibilité du G20 entre les deux principaux partenaires. Que sont les Américains et les Européens.
And this is not a question of doing it besides or outside of the G20, but it is a question of strengthening the G20 between the two main partners, the US and Europeans.
Et c'est pour ça que l'accord sur les dérivatives est très important. Hein?
That's why this agreement on derivatives is so important.
I think you've done an excellent job of restating why we should want this. Unfortunately, the US official position at this point seems to be not to include financial services broadly. Do you think you'll be able to persuade us?
Oui.
Yes.
Oui, parce que les Américains sont intelligents.
Because American people are intelligent.
Et qu'ils sont pas naïfs.
They are not naive either.
C'est une preuve d'intelligence aussi. Hein.
Which is a proof of their intelligence.
Les Européens essayent d'être aussi intelligents d'ailleurs depuis quelque temps. Hein.
And Europeans are trying to be as intelligent too for the few times.
Et donc de ne pas être naïfs non plus.
Hein. They are trying not to be naive either anymore.
Et donc c'est clairement notre intérêt.
So I think it's clearly in our interest.
Comment on peut conclure un accord, par exemple sur l'accès aux marchés financiers, si on n'a pas un level playing field?
How can you try to conclude an agreement, for instance, on access to financial markets if you don't have a level playing field?
C'est pas possible. Ça marchera pas.
It's impossible and it won't work.
Donc c'est l'intérêt des États-Unis comme le nôtre que de faire ça dans le temps qui va prendre. Ça va prendre un certain temps cet accord. Hein,
So it's in both our interests to do that within the time allotted to the transactions and to discussions. It's going to take a certain time to get there.
Mais je regarde très précisément ce que font les autorités américaines avec Dodd-Frank Act. Hein,
but I look at what the U.S. authorities are doing with the Dodd-Frank Act.
Qui est généralement l'application des décisions du G20.
Which is in general the implementation of the G20 decisions.
Moi, je vous ai fait donner ce document qui est dehors, je pense, hein, pour que vous puissiez le lire ce soir. Hein.
You'll find this document outside in the hall, and I hope you can read it tonight.
ce sont les 28 lois de régulation que j'ai présentées en Europe depuis 3 ans.
These are the 28 laws and regulations that I've introduced in Europe for the last 3 years.
Concernent chaque marché, chaque produit, chaque secteur.
For each market, each product and each sector.
Pour vous compreniez, ces 28 lois sont le single rule book pour les 28 pays de l'Europe.
So that you understand, these 28 laws are the single rule book for all 28 member states in Europe.
Comme je l'ai dit à Londres, vendredi, il n'y a pas deux single rule book. Hein.
And as I said in London on Friday, there are no two different single rule books.
Un pour les marchés financiers, un pour le reste de l'économie. Il n'y en a qu'un seul. Hein.
There's not one for financial markets and one for the rest of the economy. There's only one book.
Et ça, c'est le banking union.
And that's the banking union there.
C'est l'application des mêmes règles.
The implementation of the very same rules.
Pour la zone euro.
For the eurozone.
Où nous avons une interdépendance systémique plus grande en raison de la monnaie unique.
And there we have a systemic interdependence which is much larger because of the common currency.
De manière plus fédérale, plus intégrée, plus efficace dans la zone euro.
So for the eurozone it is implemented in a more federal way, in a much more integrated way.
Et c'est l'union bancaire qui est une véritable révolution pour le secteur bancaire. Hein.
And this is the banking union which is a real revolution for the banking sector.
Toutes les banques, les 6000 banques de la zone euro vont être supervisées de manière cohérente par la Banque centrale européenne.
All the 6000 banks of the eurozone are going to be supervised in a very coherent way by the European Central Bank.
Ça a été voté et décidé sur ma proposition et ça sera opérationnel l'année prochaine.
I proposed it, it was voted on, it was decided and it's going to be operational next year.
Ce que j'ai présenté mercredi dernier, il y a 3 jours, c'est la deuxième partie de l'Union bancaire, une autorité européenne de résolution bancaire.
And what I introduced last week is the second part of the banking union, is the resolution authority.
Well, I do hope that we're as intelligent as you describe us, and that we do in the end.
But I'm sure that I said, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Surety is a good thing. The last question I want to ask you before turning it to the audience. Is stepping back, you were also commissioner for the reform of the European political institutions.
Ongoing process.
Exactly. Something of real concern to me and many others you touched on, which is there are elections next year for the European Parliament. There is a real possibility of a very large contingent of parliamentarians who are quite populist, in the sense that they are suspicious of the European institutions themselves. What is your view of how that will change the ability of Europe to do what it needs to do?
Le projet européen, il est construit depuis 60 ans sur le contraire du protectionnisme.
The European project has been built over the last 60 years on exactly the opposite of protectionism.
Entre nous.
Between us.
Puisque nous créons un marché unique, dont je suis responsable, de 500 millions de consommateurs et de 22 millions d'entreprises.
Since we are creating a single market, and I'm responsible for it, of 500 million consumers and 22 million companies.
Never forget that we come from very far. We came from 28 countries, 28 nations. 24 national languages, 28 different rules for fiscal laws and administration and so on. And we have to merge, to mutualize, to pool without sans fusionner. Hein.
Without merging everybody.
Nous faisons une Europe unie, pas une Europe uniforme. Hein.
We are creating a united Europe, not a uniform Europe.
Une manière de combattre le populisme qui s'appuie sur le réflexe national des gens, l'identité nationale, c'est de bien expliquer que nous ne faisons pas une nation européenne, nous faisons une communauté de nations. Hein.
One way to fight against populism, which is actually nationalism, is to really explain to the people that we are not building a nation. We are building a community of nations.
C'est ça que vous devez comprendre de ce côté-ci de l'Europe.
And that's what should be understood on this side of the Atlantic.
Que nous ne pouvons pas fusionner, nous ne voulons pas fusionner les nations.
We cannot merge our nations. We do not want to merge all our nations.
Respecter les identités nationales tout en faisant de plus en plus de choses ensemble dans notre intérêt commun.
We have to fully respect national identities, all the while doing more and more things together in our common interest.
Et peut-être d'en faire quelques-unes en moins quand l'action européenne n'est pas forcément indispensable.
And perhaps to do a few things less than we're doing now when the European level is not as indispensable as we thought.
C'est pour ça que je suis assez attentif à la démarche de David Cameron, par exemple au Royaume-Uni, qui propose de mettre à plat ce qui doit être fait ensemble et ce qui pourrait être mieux fait au niveau national.
That's why I'm listening closely to David Cameron in the UK when he says that we should put everything on the table and see what should be carried out at the European level and what should not be carried out there, but more at the national level.
Et puis il faut combattre la crise, parce que la vraie raison du populisme et du protectionnisme, c'est la crise, le repli national dans un réflexe de court terme.
And also what we have to fight against is the crisis, because the reason of this nationalist wave is the crisis. Which wants to go back on a national level for short-term gain.
Nous avons pris les bonnes décisions depuis 2 ans.
We've been taking the right decisions for the last 2 years.
Sont très difficiles.
And they're very hard to take.
Parce que nous avons eu beaucoup d'années de laisser-aller et parfois d'irresponsabilité budgétaire dans beaucoup de pays.
Because we've had many, many years of negligence sometimes in the budgets of many of our nations in Europe.
Et donc, individuellement dans chaque pays où il y a trop de dettes et collectivement au niveau du management de l'Europe, nous avons pris les bonnes décisions.
So individually for any country that has accumulated too much debt and also at the European level, I think we've taken the right decision.
Voilà, maintenant il faudra aussi changer un certain nombre de choses.
But a few things need to change.
Pas forcément dans les institutions elles-mêmes, même si on peut simplifier la représentation de l'Europe au niveau des finances et même de la tête.
Not necessarily at the level of the institutions, even though we can streamline, for instance, the representation of Europe, and also at the head of Europe can be streamlined.
Mais aussi sur certaines politiques, par exemple la politique industrielle ou la politique de défense.
And some policies can be changed also, for instance, our industrial policy or our defense policy.
L'idée n'est pas de se protéger, même si nous ne devons pas être naïfs.
The reason is not to protect ourselves, even if we said we don't want to be naive.
Pas faire de protectionnisme.
We shouldn't do any protectionism.
L'idée est d'investir ensemble.
The idea is to invest together.
Je suis très intéressé sur les questions de défense depuis très longtemps, de politique de défense.
I've been very interested in defense policy and that for a long, long time.
Et je vais présenter la semaine prochaine à Bruxelles une communication avec mes collègues sur la politique de défense européenne.
And next week with my colleagues in Brussels, I'm going to present a communiqué on the defense policy at the European level.
Et c'est la même idée. C'est notre sécurité, notre défense, dans le cadre de notre alliance avec les États-Unis, qui ont intérêt à avoir un allié fort et organisé.
And it's the same idea. It's our common security, our common defense with our allies in the United States, whose interest it is to have a stronger ally.
Le chemin est long. Mais il n'y a pas de fatalité à ce que les populistes ou les protectionnistes gagnent les élections européennes si nous savons marcher au milieu de la route et affirmer notre choix et proposer certains changements.
But the nationalists will not necessarily win, or nor the populists, if we know where to walk in the middle of the road and be firm in our pronouncements and in our choices.
They propose some changes too. Huh?
And proposing of changes.
What is the French? I'm searching for bonne chance.
Sure.
I certainly hope this does work out well. I'd love to ask you hours more of questions, but that wouldn't be fair to the rest of the group here. So let me turn it over to you for your questions. Just have a few ground rules. One, please wait till the microphone comes to you so everyone can hear. Second, please make it a question and not just put a question mark at the end, but an actual question if you could. Try not to ask multiple questions. And please, at the beginning, identify who you are and if you're affiliated with an institution, what institution. So thank you for that. So, sir?
Thank you. My name is Terry Terasawa from Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi UFJ. I was wondering if I could have your opinion or views for the new prudential rule on foreign financial institutions in the U.S. that FRB is trying to implement in coming years. Thank you.
Qu'est-ce que vous pensez de la prudential qu'on a essayé d'appliquer ici aux États-Unis?
On that point, I think exactly what you think yourself. Je pense qu'il va falloir faire évoluer cette proposition de législation.
I think this proposal of a legislation must evolve.
Il y a eu une consultation, d'ailleurs, notamment par la Réserve fédérale sur cette question. Hein.
The Federal Reserve had a consultation on this very question.
Nous avons clairement indiqué la vive préoccupation que cela provoque pour nous et aussi pour le Japon et aussi pour le Canada hein, et d'autres partenaires des États-Unis.
Hein. We explained clearly what a deep concern it is for us, as it is for Japan, Canada and other U.S. partners.
Donc nous ne souhaitons pas qu'il y ait de discrimination dans le secteur bancaire. Il faut qu'il y ait des règles claires, fortes, appliquées de manière cohérente et équivalente.
We don't wish for any discrimination in the banking sector. We want very strong, clear rules that are applied in a coherent way in the whole sector.
Je ne veux pas être obligé de faire la même chose en Europe. Hein.
I don't want to be forced to do exactly the same thing on my side in Europe.
Mais je n'hésiterai pas si je suis obligé.
But I wouldn't hesitate if I had to.
Donc je veux éviter ça.
So I want to avoid it.
Et c'est pour ça que je travaille avec beaucoup de passion et de confiance, sans naïveté, avec les Américains pour aboutir au level playing field. Hein.
That's why I work with such passion and such confidence with the United States in order to reach a level playing field.
Mais c'est un des points que nous avons devant nous dans notre discussion sur l'équivalence et la réciprocité dans la régulation financière.
But this is one of the points that we have to discuss ahead of us in the substitute compliance in financial regulations.
By the way, thank you. That was going to be my fourth question, so I'm glad someone else asked it. Yes, sir, over here.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. It's Nicholas Reinhardt for Consulting. You mentioned banking. You mentioned, importantly, derivatives. But you didn't mention insurance. And I know it's an important part, but it's not really part of the financial markets regulatory dialogue. So what future do you see for further cooperation in insurance and also in the context of the TTIP negotiations? Thank you.
L'assurance dans les négociations.
Oui. Non, il ne faut pas qu'il y ait de malentendu. Le secteur de l'assurance comme celui des fonds de pension est extrêmement important pour l'économie et en Europe et ici.
There shouldn't be any misunderstanding. I mean, the insurance sector, just like the pension fund sector, is very important.
Nous avons,
both for the US and here.
Nous avons aussi un dialogue avec les autorités américaines en matière d'assurance sur le level playing field, notamment en termes de fiscalité également.
We also have a dialogue with the United States about a level playing field in terms of insurance and especially in terms of taxing insurance.
Et donc je ne vois pas de raison pour laquelle nous n'arriverions pas à un accord aussi sur ce level playing field dans le secteur des assurances.
I don't see why we shouldn't come to an agreement as to a level playing field in the insurance sector either.
Alors, même si nos secteurs ne se ressemblent pas, je suis convaincu que le secteur de l'assurance des fonds de pension aussi à côté est un des leviers pour l'investissement de long terme et la réussite de l'accord de trade entre Américains et Européens.
And although it is not exactly the same thing as what we have achieved until now, I'm convinced that both insurance and it's true also for pension funds are one of the levers for the long-term success of investment and for the success also of the TTIP that we are negotiating.
In this agenda, if you look carefully at each line, you will see a public debate I've launched a few weeks ago on long-term investments for economy. And my goal, my personal wish in the next few weeks or months is to go from this repairing or preventing regulations. We need to implement, following the G20 and drawing the lessons of the crisis, to another kind of regulation, more proactive and more dynamic for growth. And if I'm right, pension funds, insurance companies, as far as banks in Europe, don't forget that banks in Europe finance 70% of the economy, not 25% like you in your country, 70%. These three sectors are key sectors for the long-term investment, and it is the key sector for to succeed in this long-term investment movement.
Okay, next question.
Yeah,
Chris.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Crispin Weymouth from the Institute of International Finance. First of all, congratulations on your achievement. But you quite rightly said that in future we should kind of move to a slightly better framework for doing these things. And I was kind of interested what kind of framework you had in mind. Are we talking about a kind of bilateral framework between the EU and US, or are we talking about a kind of multilateral framework involving FSB, IOSCO, or others? Thanks.
Quand on parle de marché financier, on parle de marché qui travaille maintenant assez librement dans le monde entier.
When you talk about financial markets, you're talking about markets that are working pretty freely across the entire world.
Et j'ai dit tout à l'heure que les places financières d'Asie sont en train de monter très rapidement.
And as I was saying earlier, important financial cities in Asia are rising and very fast.
Il s'agit de Hong Kong, de Tokyo, de Singapour ou d'autres.
Hong Kong, Tokyo, Singapore, others.
Et je n'oublie pas d'autres pays comme le Brésil qui ont aussi leur rôle à jouer. Donc, c'est clair, pour que ce soit solide et valable, il faut, dans l'esprit du G20, dans l'esprit du Financial Stability Board, mettre en place un cadre multilatéral. Hein.
And also, I forgot to mention Brazil, but it is clear that if you want a very solid agreement, and if you want for it to be long-lasting and have any worth, it has to be carried out in the spirit of the G20, in the spirit of the Financial Stability Board.
Mais la réalité aujourd'hui, c'est que 70% des échanges sur les transactions financières sont entre l'Europe et les États-Unis.
But reality today is that 70% of exchanges and financial transactions are between the US and the European Union.
Donc, il faut mettre en œuvre tous ensemble ce qui a déjà été décidé par le G20, et c'est ce que nous faisons.
So on the one hand, we have to be all together and implement what has already been decided by the G20, and that's what we are doing.
C'est vrai aussi. J'ai eu l'occasion de rencontrer le président Poutine au mois de décembre pour voir que pendant la présidence russe, cette question de où on en est de ce qu'on a déjà décidé était bien en tête de l'agenda de chacune des réunions. Hein.
And I had the opportunity to meet President Putin in Russia because of the Russian presidency, and we took stock of where we're at in terms of the implementation of what has already been decided.
Et c'est une question de crédibilité pour le G20 que de faire ce qu'il a décidé.
It's a question of the very credibility of the G20 to do exactly what it has decided to do.
Mais si nous travaillons entre Américains et Européens pour établir ce level playing field et réduire les risques d'overlaps ou d'underlaps ou d'arbitrage réglementaire, nous le faisons en complément du G20. Pour le consolider, pour le crédibiliser, pas en contradiction avec le G20.
So if we are working together, both European and Americans, to prevent arbitrage, overlap, underlap, it is not to do it against the G20, we do it besides the G20 in order to strengthen the G20.
I'm sure of that.
The young woman there. Yeah, you in the black, exactly.
Thank you. My name is Melinda St. Louis. I work with Public Citizen, a consumer organization in the United States, and wanted to begin by agreeing that consumer protection organizations agree that it is important to have a short memory around the financial crisis, and for that reason worked very hard on both sides of the Atlantic in the United States. The Dodd-Frank legislation has been a key cornerstone of that re-regulation of the financial sector, with the Volcker rule and other rules being very important to that. And given some of the comments that you've made repeatedly, including around focusing on the Volcker rule, and you've made your position known about the Fed rules as well on foreign banking institutions, and your intention to include those in the TTIP or the TAFTA negotiations, there's concern. The Transatlantic Consumer Dialogue has prioritized the TTIP negotiations partially because of those comments and the concern that Wall Street institutions, as well as others, have been trying to water down the rulemaking in the United States around Dodd-Frank, and are concerned that the TTIP negotiations could be used as a backdoor way to do that. Senator Warren, Senator Brown have done some...
Question mark coming?
Exactly, sure. I'm getting there. I understand that you're saying that you don't intend to undermine regulation, but outside observers, including some of those banks who support going after the Volcker Rule or these other types of regulations, are concerned or do believe that this is a way that the TTIP negotiations could go after that. So the question is, could you clarify that?
Thank you. It was not so long ago.
I just wanted a question.
Some comments are useful too, huh? Toutes ces règles de Dodd-Frank ou de notre agenda de régulation sont faites pour que ça ne recommence pas.
All these rules, be it the Dodd-Frank or our own regulation agenda, are made so that it doesn't happen again, doesn't restart.
Et qu'on protège les consommateurs, les citoyens et les contribuables.
And that consumers are protected along with citizens and taxpayers.
Si vous regardez de l'autre côté dans cet agenda, toujours précisément, vous y verrez beaucoup de lois qui intéressent directement la protection et l'information des épargnants et des investisseurs.
If you look at these rules in details, you will see that they are rules and
European
laws
side, hein?
on the European side that protect exactly people who are saving their money and invest their money.
Les petits investisseurs.
And small investors.
Et les clients des banques aussi.
And banks' clients also.
J'ai présenté il y a quelques semaines une loi européenne pour garantir le compte bancaire de base qui soit obligatoire de pouvoir ouvrir un compte, la transparence des frais bancaires, la mobilité bancaire qui est très difficile en Europe.
A few weeks ago, I presented a rule about the basic protection of small bank accounts and the transparency of these bank accounts, banking mobility, which is very difficult in Europe.
Je n'imagine pas que l'on puisse, à la faveur de cet accord transatlantique, abaisser le niveau de ces protections pour les consommateurs et pour les contribuables. Je n'imagine pas ça. En tout cas, moi, je ne l'accepterai pas.
And I can't imagine that anybody would use the TTIP in order to lower the protection of the consumers and the small investors. At least,
and the taxpayers.
And the taxpayers. At least, I would not accept it.
Okay. Martin?
Thank you for being here and for your comments. There's a lot of concern in the United States about
banks. Martin Bailey from Brookings.
Sorry, Martin Bailey from Brookings. A lot of concern in the United States about institutions that are too big to fail and then are essentially protected by their governments and are able to borrow on particularly favorable terms, therefore that you don't, in fact, end up with a level playing field. Are you concerned about the large national champion banks in Europe and whether they are really on a level playing field with other banks, or do you think further steps need to be taken to make sure that either they can be allowed to fail or that they be regulated in such a way that they do not have a special advantage?
Votre question permet d'ailleurs de dire un mot des différences qui existent entre nos deux secteurs bancaires.
This question allows me to explain some of the differences that exist between our two banking sectors.
Qui n'ont pas la même importance pour l'économie. Hein.
They don't have the same importance for the economy.
Je rappelle qu'en Europe, dans le marché unique, les banques financent 70% de l'économie, des territoires, des entreprises. 70%.
I remind you that in Europe, the banks are financing 70% of businesses all over the territory.
C'est aussi pour cette raison que nous avons une différence très claire dans la mise en œuvre des règles de Bâle sur la capitalisation des banques entre Américains et Européens.
That's for the same reason that we have a very different concept of the implementation of the Basel rules between the United States and Europe.
Je rappelle que nous appliquons, et la loi a été votée en Europe sur ma proposition il y a maintenant quelques mois. Elle rentre en vigueur le 1er janvier 2014. Nous appliquons les règles de Bâle à 8300 banques et non pas à 30 banques.
And on my proposal, we voted in Europe a few months ago a rule, a law, which is going to be implemented January 1st, 2014, covering 8,300 banks and not 30 banks like here.
As far as Basel rules are concerned. Hein?
Basel rules.
Et puis nous avons aussi, dans cette paysage bancaire européen, de très grands groupes, dit banques universelles, ou des groupes de banques assurance.
And in this European banking landscape, we also have very large groups called universal banks or insurance banks groups.
Quand vous regardez depuis 6 ans les banques qui ont créé des problèmes, qui ont été en difficulté ou en faillite en faisant payer les contribuables. C'est pas évident que ce soit un type de banque plutôt qu'un autre qui ait provoqué ces difficultés.
If you look at what happened in the last 6 years, banks that caused huge problems or that went bankrupt, for instance, and cost money to the taxpayer, it's not absolutely certain that it is the very large banks that cause all these problems.
C'est parfois une banque de détail qui est en difficulté, c'est parfois une banque d'investissement, c'est parfois une banque universelle. Hein.
It happens that sometimes it is a retail bank that has problems, sometimes an investment bank, sometimes a universal bank.
Et c'est plus souvent des petites banques que de très grandes banques qui ont été en difficulté.
And it's more often very small banks rather than very large banks that have problems.
Bankia, Dexia, ce ne sont pas des très grandes banques. Hein.
Bankia and Dexia are not very large banks.
Donc ma priorité était de traiter dans cet agenda de manière transversale toutes les banques.
My priority in this agenda was to treat equally in a transversal way all the banks.
Et les règles s'appliquent maintenant. Supervision externe, supervision interne, capitalisation avec les règles de Bâle et la résolution et les garanties de dépôt.
And now the rules are applied equally to all of them. External supervision, internal supervision, capitalization according to the Basel rules, resolution and deposit guarantee.
Et les mesures prudentielles sont effectivement toujours plus fortes selon le profil de risque des banques.
And of course the prudential rules are all the stronger according to the profile, the risk profile.
Est-ce que ça suffit?
Is it enough?
La réponse est non.
I'd say no.
Et voilà pourquoi j'ai lancé un autre exercice concerne la séparation structurelle de la gestion des risques dans les banques.
That's why I started a new exercise which deals with the structural management of risk according to different banks.
C'est le rapport Lee Cannon.
It's the Lee Cannon report.
J'ai regardé très précisément ce que les Américains de l'autre côté veulent faire avec les lois Volcker.
I looked very closely at what the US intend to do with the Volcker rules.
J'ai besoin de comprendre ce que vous allez faire vraiment, d'ailleurs. Hein.
I need to understand what you really are going to do.
Du côté anglais, le rapport Vickers est intéressant aussi.
On the British side, the Vickers report is interesting also.
Les Français et les Allemands ont pris des mesures et nous allons faire une loi européenne en octobre pour mieux séparer la gestion des risques.
The Germans and the French have already taken measures, and in October we'll have a law in order to better manage risk separation.
Et cette loi concernera principalement les grandes banques.
And this law is going to apply principally to large banks.
Mais je le ferai en respectant la diversité du secteur bancaire européen et en faisant attention à l'économie européenne aussi.
But I'm going to pay attention to both the diversity of the European banking sector and also to the importance and the fallout on the economy.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. Greg Rosansky at the Clearing House. Following up on your remarks on the Lee Cannon report and structural reform, as you mentioned, it appears as though different countries within Europe may take a different approach to implementing the structural reforms. The ring fences might be in a different place, the intergroup restrictions. How important is it to have a coordinated approach in Europe and perhaps even more broadly to the structural reforms that you just mentioned?
Certains pays ont pris des initiatives pour aller plus vite, souvent pour des raisons politiques internes, d'ailleurs, que je peux comprendre. Hein.
Some countries have already taken initiatives in order to go faster, many times because of internal political reasons, which I understand.
Par exemple, le président de la République française avait promis une loi dans sa campagne et il a voulu le faire très vite, ce que, encore une fois, je trouve légitime. Hein.
For instance, the French president had a campaign promise and he wanted to implement it fast, and I understand that.
La loi que je prépare doit être une loi européenne.
My law, the law I'm preparing, must be a European law.
Pour avoir ce level playing field dans tous les domaines du secteur financier.
If you want to have this level playing field in all sectors of the financial sector.
Il faut qu'elle soit compatible avec ce que les Anglais veulent faire avec la loi Vickers et avec les Français et les Allemands ont déjà fait.
But it must be compatible with what the British intend to do with the Vickers law and what the French and the Germans have already done.
Donc voilà, je travaille sur la base du rapport Lee Cannon je fais une étude d'impact extrêmement précise sur toutes les options et nous présenterons cette loi en octobre. Je ne peux pas en dire plus aujourd'hui.
And so I'm working on the basis of the Liikanen report. We are doing an impact study, studying all the options, but that is going to be done in October, but I can't say any more on this point today.
Okay, we have about 2 minutes for one question and the answer to it. So, all right, how about this fellow here?
Thank you, Doug. Bill Hederman from Deloitte. Commissioner, my question had to deal with one phrase you made during your remarks about the other sectors of the economy. One of the big dilemmas at the CFTC has been how do you treat the other commodities, especially energy and agriculture. I wonder if you could speak about how the European Commission intends to deal with those aspects of this reform, the end users, basically, of the derivatives.
J'ai dit dans mon speech tout à l'heure que l'accord que nous avions trouvé avec Gary Gensler était fondamental.
I said earlier in my speech that the agreement we found with Gary Gensler was absolutely fundamental.
Il couvre l'essentiel des sujets.
Covers most of the subjects.
Je vous invite d'ailleurs à le regarder dans le détail comme vous allez le faire, mais il ne règle pas tous les problèmes.
I invite you to look at it in details. I'm sure you're going to do it, but it doesn't solve all the problems.
Dans le secteur des matières premières, mais peut-être d'autres encore, il y a encore à vérifier l'équivalence, notamment sur les règles imposées, les règles prudentielles imposées au CCP, hein, aux chambres de compensation.
It doesn't cover all the commodities, of course, and I think we have to still see about the rules for equivalencies, especially for the CCPs.
Donc le travail va continuer dans le même esprit très constructif. Ça a été... C'est un succès commun lié à un effort commun que nous avons fait avec la CFTC.
So the work is going to go on to cover the rest, and it was a common effort done together with the CFTC.
Mais cette question liée aux chambres de compensation, c'est un point que nous avons encore réglé devant nous, comme l'autre question que votre collègue japonais m'a posée sur tout à l'heure les foreign banking organizations.
But this question about the clearing houses is one point that we still have to solve, just like the question asked by your Japanese colleagues on FBOs. Remains to be done.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
It's finished?
Yes, it is. We promised to get you out at 9:30.
On avait promis de vous arriver, hein?